The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Well, it's another day, so a whole new set of outrages. The government has just expanded its ability to unconstitutionally spy on you. Happy Friday. Yesterday, the House renewed the FISA surveillance program that collects data, email, text messages, photos, without a warrant for another 6 years. This is on American citizens. The bill was originally approved by Congress in 2008 under the promise of protecting Americans against the big bad terrorists. But that's a flawed platform. There will always be terrorists. So we are going to now violate everyone's rights in order to keep our country safe? Yes, we have to. This is why Justin Amash offered up an alternative bill, the USA Rights Act, which would have required federal agents to get a warrant to search through data that was secretly collected. So it's a crazy old-fashioned idea. You have to have a judge say, according to the evidence that you have now given me, I'm going to let you go ahead and look through data. It failed, of course. Now, Trump was against the FISA extension, tweeting, House votes on controversial FISA Act today. This is the act that may have been used to help with the help of the discredited and phony dossier to so badly surveil and abuse the Trump campaign by the previous administration and others. But that was so 7:33 in the morning. 2 hours later, he flipped his position, tweeting, today's vote is about foreign surveillance and foreign bad guys on foreign land. We need it. Get smart. Oh, okay. The bill is now going to the Senate. It is expected to pass. Rand Paul, who will be with us in 30 minutes, is already talking about filibustering the vote, as is Mike Lee and others. In fact, a few Democrats might join. Because here's our E Pluribus Unum. From many, one. We used to melt into each other. There used to be something we could agree on. And what was that something? Things like the Fourth Amendment. You know, you need a search warrant. You can't just go gather evidence against every single American. You have to have a reason. A warrant. We used to agree on the Bill of Rights. Do we anymore? We either choose the Constitution or we don't, and we have nothing. Our representatives, our Senate, our president, from both sides of the parties, both sides of the aisle, they continue to make the wrong choice. The real question is, will Americans follow them down that path?
It's Friday, January 12th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I want to hear from you today. Boy, do I want to hear from you. We have Rand Paul in half an hour. We have Bill O'Reilly next hour, and in hour number three, I hope to be able to speak to Mia Love, because she's one from one of those crap hole countries, you know. There, I really want to talk to you because I was outraged last night. I really was, and I have, you know what? I've given up on the whole outrage thing, and I've given up on the certainty thing. I don't want to be certain of anything anymore. I don't want to be absolutely convinced that I am right anymore. Because that doesn't get us anywhere. Certainty is a flaw in us. You know, even Jesus, as he's hanging on the cross, He wasn't certain. Oh my gosh, how dare you say that? See, I told you Glenn Beck wasn't a Christian. My God, why have you forsaken me? If that's not doubt, I don't know what is. Even Jesus had a moment of doubt. He wasn't forsaken. It was part of the plan. But as he has nails driven through him, the human side comes out and he doubts. If the most perfect human being ever to walk the earth doubted even for a fraction of a second, who am I to be certain? And once I enter a conversation with somebody when I am absolutely certain, well, then they're idiots. They have nothing to offer. They're part of the problem. And I don't listen. And today I find myself getting close to being certain again. Mr. President, there are millions of people that support you. There are millions of people that don't. That's a fact of life. It'll always be that. But there are millions of people who want to like you, who want to support you. There are millions of people who defend you every single day. And every single day, it's like you get a punch in the face because, oh, crap, what? I'm a very stable genius. Shut up. Shut up. Who says that? FISA yesterday. How do I know who you are, sir? How do I know who you are? Your tweets yesterday. This is very dangerous on FISA. This is what was used to get me. And you were right. 2 hours later. Oh, I've put the fix in myself. Oh, you did in 2 hours? Wow, that's really that you're efficient. How do I defend? How do I even know who you are? How do I do it? This week, if you are a Trump supporter, you have had to spend your credibility. You have had to go to friends, and you know I'm a very stable genius. You know nobody who is very stable or a genius would ever say something like that. Okay, all right. Well, it's Donald Trump. But okay, how many times, Mr. President, are you going to make us say, I know, but it's Donald Trump? In the last week, 10 days, we've had to defend my button is bigger than yours. We've had to defend all of the stuff with Bannon and Fire and Fury, which led into us having to defend I'm a very stable genius, which led people into defend your moving of the most dishonest fake news award show that apparently you're doing. You're the president, man. Which led us into having to defend DACA. Wait, are you for it? Are you against it? Were you lying to them or were you lying to us? When you said you trust the people in the room, the slimiest people of Congress, the leaders of Congress, were in your room and you said in front of them, God and the country, you trust them. And no matter what they send you, even if you disagree with it, you will sign it because you trust them to do the right. Well, none of the other people in America trust them. Well, I didn't mean that. Well, I don't know, because everything is I didn't mean, I didn't say, I don't know anymore. Also, this week, we've been so busy defending other things, we didn't even see this. He's canceled his trip to London. The president has canceled his trip to London. Now, let's just do the math on that. Why do you think he canceled it? Because the streets of London will be on fire when he comes. Our greatest ally. The streets will be on fire. Well, they're just stirring things up. Okay, okay, all right. They're stirring things up. So why doesn't the president just come out and say, not going to London today? You know, I'm the president. I'm dealing with other things. No, what he says is this, quote, the reason I canceled my trip to London is that I'm not a big fan of the Obama administration having sold perhaps the best located and finest embassy in London for peanuts, only to build one in an off location for $1.2 billion. Bad deal. Wanted me to cut the ribbon. No. Bull crap. I'm at dinner last night. And the dinner conversation is about FISA. I'm having dinner with really smart people. And we're having a conversation about FISA. And people at the table are doing their best. You know, let's give people the benefit of the doubt. It's like Pat said yesterday on this program. You know, if you look at his policies, you know, the tax cut wasn't great. But at least we have it. The mandate is gone. I don't know what happens now because of that, but at least it's a step in the right direction. He did the Jerusalem thing. There are many things, Mr. President, that I support. But I am embarrassed to say I support his policies because everything else that goes around it. I'm sorry if I'm being too honest on how I feel, because maybe you don't feel this way at all, but man, I don't know how you're doing it and having any credibility with your friends, because we would go crazy. We'd go crazy if the president of the United States was a Democrat and doing the things that he has been saying. I'm not even talking about his policies, just shut up. Shut up. This crap hole comment. I'm at dinner. I had just worked all night on the FISA thing, worked on all of the other things that are going down. I get into the car with my wife. And I go on Twitter and I said, no way, no frickin' way. She said, what? And I said, I don't even want to tell you. I cannot be true. But of course, the president has denied it today. Do you really believe that? You know what? Here's what he said, in case you don't know, while he was talking about, you know, immigration reform. Why do we have all of these people coming from these, and I'm cleaning it up, crap hole countries? First of all, Mr. President, you ever been to Haiti? Doubt it. It's really not your speed. Not enough golden faucets in the country. Haiti is a crap hole country. You know why? Because of people, quite honestly, like the Clinton Foundation. because of our government supporting the crap hole administrators and government of Haiti, because of people like the Red Cross who will not put strings on the money over there and say, no, I'm sorry, we're going to spend it. We're not going to give it to your corrupt people. You know what Haiti is? Haiti is a country that is filled with misery. It is a country filled with slavery. It is filled with people, human beings, moms, dads, children, that are suffering stuff that we should have eradicated in the 1500s, and we didn't, because of politicians being corrupt. It's full of misery, and it's full of people just like you and just like me who just want a chance. Why are all these people coming from crap hole countries? Because we didn't used to be a crap hole country, and they think that they could have a chance here. I want those people. Yesterday people were defending this from six ways to Sunday. And I'm sorry, but I don't understand it. Well, he wasn't talking about the people. Okay, put yourself in 1938. President says, why do we have to take all these Jews from that Nazi country? Is he talking about the Nazi country, or is he talking about taking all the Jews? That is clearly an anti-Semitic phrase. Why do we have to take all these Jews from that Nazi country? Yes, he may be against the Nazis, but he's also making a comment about all those Jews. Don't try to defend it. You know what made this worse last night? Is Mercury 1 and Operation OUR was on the ground in Haiti last night. They were on the ground in Haiti last night at the request of their new president to try to get some of the worst offenders of sexual slavery off the street. And I thought to myself, how is Tim and our team facing their president tonight, who's trying to do the right thing? How is he facing them when our president calls their country a crap hole? Mr. President, we want to support you. We thank you for the things that you have done that some of us didn't think you would do. But please, for the love of God, shut your mouth and just do the job.
Glenn Beck.
The phones are ablaze right now, and I want to take your phone calls today. I really want to hear your voice, but I don't want to cheat anybody out of time. And so we're gonna wait until the next break to take some phone calls, so you have a chance to speak. Also, I have Rand Paul coming up in just a few minutes. He's going to talk about the renewing of the FISA bill, which is a disgrace. It has been made worse. It is expanding now, and we have to choose constitution or no constitution. We're going to talk about facts, and then we'll talk about feelings as well.
Glenn,
coming up.
Beck, Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Senator Rand Paul is joining us now, a friend of the program, or we're a friend of his at least, and glad to have him on, and glad to hear that he is able to continue to do work and to be on the phone with us. Rand, we have been really concerned. This audience has been very concerned about your health. How are you feeling?
You know, I'm starting to get better every day, and I appreciate that. And appreciate people from across the country being concerned about my health.
You know, I've only had a bruised rib. What do you have, three broken ribs?
Actually, I had six broken ribs.
Three of them displaced,
meaning that
they're
actually not really aligned anymore. Then I had fluid on the lung. I had pneumonia twice, and sort of 5 or 6 weeks just a really excruciating pain trying to even sit up. I had to have assistance just to sit up.
So Senator, this has been bothering me. I mean, since this story broke. First, it was like, no big deal. Then it was like, oh, maybe a little bit. And then the details started to trickle out. What happened with the media where we weren't getting the story? Did you not know you had those broken ribs right away?
I think the media was obsessed with sort of trying to make it my fault somehow. So the major liberal rag in Kentucky, the Louisville Courier, printed stories saying, Rand Paul, apparently not a good neighbor, sort of had it coming, deserved what he got. And so it's the kind of stuff that the left seems to have great sympathy for victims until the victims happen to be conservatives.
I've never seen anything like it. And I don't know why this guy, I don't care. I mean, I do care if you're a senator. To me, it makes it much, much worse, especially if it was politically motivated at all. But I don't care if you were just a guy living on a street. That's a major attack. Why isn't this guy having major legal problems?
I think in the end, there will be legal consequences. The machinery of justice sometimes is slow, but I think in the end, there will be a just outcome and some punishment for this. But I guess the thing is, and I don't know if you remember, but about a month ago, my wife finally just had enough, and she said, I can't stand them attacking you every day.
Your phone is kind of weird. I'm sorry. She said what?
She just couldn't stand them attacking me every day. It was like I got mugged once, in the yard, and then I got mugged by the media every day, implying somehow that I sort of had it coming and that violence was justified. And I guess they don't really quite realize this. They snicker and smile and think it's kind of funny. But, I was on the ball field being shot at by a guy who shot over 100 shots at us, almost killed Steve Scalise. And then 6 months later, an attack to my yard. And so really, it's just not that funny.
I cannot believe, we were on the air. If this would have happened to anyone on the left, the country would have stopped. And the media just kind of took it like, it was a lawnmower thing. No, it's not. And even if it was, there's a problem here. Anyway, yesterday, the president tweeted that that the FISA thing that was going through the House was the kind of stuff used with the, he said, bogus dossier from Fusion GPS to surveil him and spy on him. And it was horrible. 2 hours later, he says, well, I put the right language in there, so it's all good and it's patriotic and you got to do this. Let's get smart. I think this is a nightmare.
The people in the swamp, I think, try to convince the president, and the swamp kind of pushes back. Paul Ryan and others, they push back and they say, well, we're putting reforms in there, and all the problems where people abuse the system to go after you, the Strzoks and their mistress and that guy Bruce Orr with his wife doing the Oppo research, we've fixed all that and it's safe now. And it really isn't at all. They did fake reform. There really isn't going to be a warrant requirement. So really, here's this program. It's supposed to be collecting information on foreigners in foreign lands. And actually, I agree with that. Mike Lee and I are the two biggest advocates for getting a warrant. And both of us have said we're fine with the program as long as the millions of Americans that are caught up accidentally and incidentally in this program, the millions of Americans who are in the database, as long as you don't go trolling through that database, looking for IRS problems or looking for campaign, problems or looking for just people you don't like because they're of the opposite party. And that stuff happens. It's been, Senator Lee mentioned this the other day. He says, since FDR, every president has used the intelligence community against their opponents, all the way through Nixon.
Right.
And really, Obama did it to attack the Tea Party with the IRS.
Yep.
And they're still doing it now, but they're not doing it at Trump's behest. They're actually doing it to attack Trump.
So is there a chance that you and Mike Lee, and I understand there's some, you know, good Democrats that are talking about joining you guys. Is there a chance this doesn't pass in the Senate?
We had the initial vote, and we had 4 Republicans and 23 Democrats. So we only had 27 votes. The 4 Republicans were Mike Lee, myself, Jerry Moran, and Steve Daines. Those are the only 4 Republicans so far that have shown any interest in trying to stop this. So we really, you know, if you ask the American people, if we ask your audience, I know what kind of answer we get, but let's just say we ask everybody, even those out there listening to public radio, we say, do you think that the government should be able to look at your personal information, listen to your phone calls without a warrant? It would be a hell no from everybody.
Everybody.
80% of the public. But in Washington, 80% of the public, you know, they just don't listen to us. In fact, when they hear that, they do what is very common in Washington is they do fake reform. They do some stuff. And so we fix the problem. In reality, this bill is worse than the current law because under this bill, they say that data that is collected on foreigners that accidentally gets Americans can be used against Americans in a court of law. So imagine this. Imagine they just feel like they control through there, and they say you detected something, some paint that you had at the office that you brought home and painted your house, which would be a tax violation because you deducted the paint for business. All of a sudden, they can figure out some kind of incidental tax thing. It can be used in domestic court now. That's what this new law says. And, you know, I think it is worth filibustering. I think that the Bill of Rights, the 4th Amendment, your right to privacy, is something so sacred, so important. It's really what John Adams said was the spark that led to the revolution was James Otis fighting against General Lawrence, fighting against excessive and overbearing government.
Yep. I will tell you this, that I think, you know, I've been, you know, been asking for a while, e pluribus unum. What's our unum anymore? Our unum really is the Bill of Rights. Those common sense things that you ask yourself, you know, should the government be able to just spy on you and listen to your phone calls? The unum is no. We all agree. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, left, right. 90% of Americans would say, no, they don't have a right to do that. That's our unum. And we have taken our unum, our Bill of Rights, and we're just dismantling it. To have a group of Republicans and Democrats stand up in the Senate and filibuster on that right, on that unum, I think will connect.
And here's a good way to look at it. A lot of people get sort of, they get caught up in this and they're not sure which way to think because they think, gosh, I know my local policeman, I know my local FBI agent, and they're good people. I would say exactly the same thing. Every individual FBI agent I've met out in the field has been a good person who I think that tries to apply the law. In fact, I think the local FBI agents and the local police understand the 4th Amendment much better than they do in Washington.
Yeah.
But what should scare us all is when we see someone like Strzok, his girlfriend, his mistress, talking to somebody named Andy, which is probably the second in command at the FBI, and plotting at work on their work phone on how to stop Donald Trump from being president, and then talking about some kind of insurance policy. And then you flip over to the Department of Justice, and a guy, Bruce Orr's wife, worked for the opposition research and hired a British spy that was paid for by Hillary Clinton. And all of a sudden, we're supposed to believe that all of these men and women are angels and that they're not going to spy on us if we don't have an extra scrutiny on what they do?
There are so many distractions now that it's hard to concentrate on the important things. We had another one yesterday. A lot of people said that, you know, what the president was doing 2 days ago when he was sitting down with members of Congress and saying, I trust you guys to come up with a plan. A lot of people who supported him said, well, he's just playing Congress and he's playing the media and he's going to play, you know, good cop. Well, he just flushed all that down the toilet last night with the comments being released. You know, why do we let all these people in here from crap hole countries? I personally am just disgusted by that. Any comment on that, Senator?
Not that in particular, but I would say that I think something is going to come out of this. And I've always blamed any kind of progress forward on immigration, whether it's border security or whether it's figuring out who can come to the country, on the Democrats' unwillingness to compromise. So right now there's a bunch of kids, and I actually do have sympathy for the DACA kids, and I will vote for a compromise. But the Democrats do have to compromise. They are going to have to vote in favor of additional border security. They're going to have to vote in favor of having a more merit-based, where we admit the people to the country who we need, want, and will work. And then I think the chain migration
is there. Is
on both sides.
You know, that is the defenders of Donald Trump on the crap hole country thing, which I'm sorry, I don't buy into any of the excuses of it. But what they'll say is, hey, we need to know if these people are any good because they're coming from a crap hole country. Well, you know, you can come from Denmark and still not want to work and still want things for free. And I mean, Denmark is giving away things for free much more than Haiti.
Way to justify that. I'm just saying that
we have
700 million people that want to come to our country.
Yeah.
Can't have all 700 million. And so the thing is, and here's the thing about merit-based, is that we need people who are software engineers and PhDs, but we also do need workers.
Yes.
So, for example, if we had no immigration into our country, if some of the people who want to close the borders, we'd have no tomatoes, we'd have no vegetables, we'd have all of the things that have to be picked in the field. Unfortunately, we have destroyed the work ethic in our country.
Yes.
And so the people who couldn't do that in our country are sitting at home getting a government wage for non-work. But really, our country would come to a standstill without some immigration. And immigration can be a strength to a country. It needs to be done legally and appropriately. And so I've always said I'm actually for more legal immigration and less illegal immigration.
So I agree with you on that. And I wanted to kind of point out that I think what you were saying was that the Democrats will have to compromise on merit-based, which every country on the planet does, except for us. And do you think that they will actually go and look? I mean, we need AI visas. We need a Manhattan Project, quite honestly, for safe ASI. We need the greatest minds to come here so we can develop that. And it's not developed over in China or elsewhere. But that requires merit-based stuff. Would the Democrats ever do it?
I think part of merit-based also implies, and one of the things we need to do that we used to do, is we should link it to work and sponsorship.
Yes.
So when my wife's grandmother came over here from Ireland in the 1920s, she came over and she was required to work, and if she didn't work, she was sent back. So we had some tough rules, but people knew they had to come, and people did. People were hungry for work. And even the hardest work at the lowest wage was better in our country than another country.
Yep.
Because there was always the hope of progress, the hope of success and moving up the socioeconomic ladder.
Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, we're glad that you're feeling better. If there's anything that any of us can do to help you, please let us know. Besides our prayers, we appreciate the hard work you're doing. And thanks for joining us. God bless.
Thanks, Glenn.
By the way, just want to point out, he said his grandmother in the 1920s came from Ireland. At that time, many said Ireland was a crap hole country, and why are we letting those people in? Well, because some of them turn out to be really good constitutional senators.
Glenn Beck.
Let's go to Mike in North Carolina. Comments on the news today, Mike. How are you feeling? What are you thinking?
Good morning, Glenn. Just thinking on the issue with Trump saying
crap
that
hole.
Haiti
yep.
is a crap hole, right? But yet you agreed with him, you know, that it is that way. You said that it is, and you gave your explanation why.
Yeah, okay, so the government has made it into a crap hole. However, that has nothing to do with the people, and that was what he was questioning. Why are we taking all of these people from this crap hole? You know, well, we take those because those are the poor, huddled, you know, tired masses yearning to breathe free. But we should see, you know, make sure that they have something to offer and want a better life and not bring that attitude with us. But that happens even in Denmark. There are more people that get free stuff from the government in the Netherlands than there are in Haiti.
Right. Well, I mean, my thing is, I don't understand. You know, I understand, but I thought you were more upset with him calling them. You know, calling that place that.
I am upset because I don't believe that he was calling that place alone. He was questioning the people. And the reason why is because if I said, what are we doing? Why are we bringing all these Jews in from Nazi Germany? Yes, I'm recognizing that Nazi Germany is a bad place, but I'm questioning the people. And then to follow it up and say, we need more people from Denmark. No, why? Why? Those people understand more socialism than the people of Haiti do.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.